Today, if you have your Bibles, go ahead and be turning, if you will, to Psalm 100. Psalm 100, hopefully a very familiar passage of Scripture for you. I remember all the way back in kindergarten, my class had to memorize that. And I was scared to death. We had to go and recite that in front of the whole gathered all the student body and all the parents. It scared me to death to do that. Psalm 100. I want to preach a message entitled, What to Bring to Church. And I know what some might be thinking, why am I not all the way back in Beatitudes? Because we left that right around Thanksgiving and we haven't gotten back there yet. And my full intention is to get back to the Sermon on the Mount. Go back to Matthew 5 and continue on there, but I just do not, I don't feel the Lord has given me that leave to go back and do that. He had impressed this particular message on my heart, so I wasn't going to fight with him, because if I fight with God, I'm going to lose. So I'm going to go ahead and do kind of what he led me and preach this particular message. What to bring to church? And we're talking about that this morning during the Sunday school hour. Today, you need to bring to church your gloves, your hat, your coat, your boots, your heating pad, and a bunch of other things. You know, we do. We bring a lot of things to church, don't we? The reflexive thing that we always bring to church is our Bible. I heard a really good reasoning, a really good joke about this, and that was, why do Baptists bring their Bible to church? It's because they don't believe, or they don't trust their pastor. Oh, that's a pretty good one. Some of y'all are getting that now. You know, we bring a lot of different things to church, and just wanted to kind of touch on that. The idea of bringing things. To bring, the definition is a bring. It's obviously a verb, and it means to come to a place with someone or something. It means just what you think it means. We bring things to everyone. It's the things we pick up. It's the things that we make sure we don't forget. When we go and we get our kids to go to school, we make sure they bring their homework. They bring and take their lunch, and they bring the things that they are supposed to bring. When we go to work, we bring things to work, like the presentations that we've been working on. We bring our lunch or water bottle, whatever it is. That's the idea of that bringing. And one of the things that I began thinking about is that we are in a state of perpetual bringing. Regardless of what we're doing. When you came to church this morning, you brought things. You brought yourself, your purse, your wallet, your keys, your Bible, your Sunday school quarterly. You brought all of those things. But you know, when we leave here, we bring things back to our homes or whatever restaurant we're going to or wherever we're going. We're bringing things there. And you know, it's not just physical things that we bring. We bring our attitude. We bring our experience. We bring our knowledge. We bring our demeanor. We bring with us all of those things that are associated with who we are. And here's the thing that I want us to kind of grab hold of today, is what we bring can make all the difference in the world. What we bring wherever we go can make all the difference in the world. Years back when Allison, Grace and I, when we were going to the emergency room, probably a whole lot more than we ever wanted to go, one of the things that was in our trunk at all times was a little bitty book bag. And inside of it was a lot of different things. We called it our ER bag. And it was there that just in case we needed to go run to the emergency room, we had exactly what we needed to wait for an extended period of time, or we needed to have some things. It had money in it. It had activity things for Grace to do. It had little games. It had little granola bars. It had all of those things in it. And we just kind of had that. And it saved us so many times, because here we are going, and we're like, I'm grabbing that. And we had things to do. We had little, you know, change for a vending machine or some cash to go buy some stuff, just in case we needed that. Credit card wouldn't do it. We had those things, and it helped out so many times when we brought it with us. You know, it can make all the difference in the world. It can be good, but you know what? It also can be bad. Y'all know a few months back, I had the privilege of preaching homecoming at Kevin Ballou's church in Greensboro, Parkway Baptist Church, and I greatly coveted that. It was a wonderful experience. Afterwards, they had a meal on the church ground. They had this whole big spread of food out there. And y'all know Allison and I are on a modified Atkins diet. And, so we can't just take anything. We have to have like certain foods. So here we are like kind of looking out. And there were some roast and some chickens and things like that. But you know, vegetables are one of those things we really like too. And there in the middle of a table, and Allison probably remembers this, there was this dish of asparagus. And asparagus is one of the things we can have. And if it's cooked right, I love it. This wasn't cooked right. You remember, because you had some of it too. It was, usually you serve asparagus hot. This just came out of the fridge. Usually it's grilled with like some butter, or I've even seen it wrapped in bacon. That's a magnificent thing. Yeah, this didn't have it. This had some type of a dressing on it. And boy, you put it in your mouth and you're like, oh, this was a mistake. See, what you bring can be a blessing, or what you bring might not be a blessing. So what we bring to church in tune can be good or it can be bad. So the question is today, what do you bring to church? Now, this isn't in the bulletin, this isn't in the sermon notes, but I'd like to begin by giving four things we bring to church that ruin our and others' worship. See, what we bring to church can bless others, but it also can hurt others. We can bless others with what we bring to church, or we can hurt others by what we bring to church. Because listen, we're talking about church, we're talking about when we come here, we're talking about worship. We're talking about worship when we're talking about going into Sunday school, when we're talking about being here in the sanctuary, when we're talking about what the choir does, what we're doing right now and listening to the sermon, when we're singing. All of that is worship. And notice this, worship is always a group activity. Worship is always a group activity. When you're on the road and nobody else is in the car with you and you've got the radio cranked up and you're just singing with all your heart unto the Lord and making a joyful noise, that is not a solo activity, because you are praising God and God is there with you. It's always a group activity. And the way in which we interact with each other, it will affect us either for the better or for the worse. So let me give you four things just real quick. I'm going to run through them. Number one, unrealistic expectations. Unrealistic expectations. When we come to church, if we have an unrealistic expectation, almost always we're going to be let down. I am not going to hit it out of the park every single Sunday with a sermon. There are going to be times where I mess up, where I feel bad, where the sermon just hasn't had the time it needs to get in my brain, to get out of my mouth. Something's going to go wrong. Every Sunday, we're not going to sing songs that everybody just absolutely adores and loves. Every Sunday, it might be your Sunday school class kind of falters and the lesson just isn't hitting it out of the park. In fact, when I was in seminary, the teacher that was teaching expository preaching, he said, look, don't look to hit it out of the park every Sunday. Be happy if you hit a grounder and get on base. But you know, if we come to church with unrealistic expectations, if we're saying, God, I want you to do this, 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 and this, because I want to dictate how everything's going to go, we're going to be drawn down. You know what? That's going to affect us. It's going to affect others. Unrealistic expectations. Number two, unforgiveness and bitterness. Unforgiveness and bitterness. You know, if we come and we come here and there's bitterness in our heart, there's unforgiveness in our heart, we're in here in this sanctuary, and we're kind of like glaring at somebody going, hey, I wish they weren't here. Hey, I wish they just wouldn't be here today. And there's bitterness in your heart, that's going to rub off on your neighbor. That's going to rub off on all those that are around you, and it is going to block your worship. Jesus said, if you've got unforgiveness in your heart, you can't receive forgiveness because you're holding on to something that is wrong. Let me give you another one. Self-centeredness. Self-centeredness. You know, one of the reasons we come to church isn't for us, it's for others. One of the reasons why we worship, it's not for us, it's for others. And if we have a self-centered mindset saying, hey, I'm here, here I am, entertain me, here I am, let me hear what I want to hear. We have that self-centeredness. It is going to block and ruin our worship, but also the worship of others. Finally, this, arrogance. Arrogance. Hey, I'm here. We're okay now. I'm here. It's all right. Everything hinges on me being here. Do you know there's one person that needs to show up on Sunday for us to have a successful church service? It's Jesus Christ. You know, if Jesus is here, everything else falls into place. But you know, when we're talking about the idea of bringing something to church, let me give you five things. Five really quick things, items to always remember to bring to church is found in Psalm 100. Number one is this. It's a heart to participate. A heart to participate. Look at verse 1. The psalmist writes, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. You know, one of the things that makes a huge difference in the act of worship, in the act of coming and being at church and engaging with God, is that we, in fact, participate. It's we all together coming together to participate. I know a lot of people were watching the State and Duke game last night, and I heard after the fact, but I heard that the whole floor, they just rushed the floor, NC State did when they won. Everybody was just like, wow, and just, you know, cheering and doing all of these things because they were happy. But they all did it together. Let me ask, how many of y'all would like to go to a Duke Carolina game, regardless, wherever you think it would be better held, either in Chapel Hill or in Durham? How would you like to go there knowing that every single person that was there was just going to be doing this the whole game? No cheer. No sound. Only thing you hear is like boom, boom, boom. Whoosh. That's all you hear. That would ruin the experience, isn't it? See, here's the thing. Anytime within the Word of God you read about worship, you read about participation. You read about an individual going forth and giving praise, of participating in that worship. In fact, the very word, hallelujah, it's in the hithpael of the Hebrew language. It's in that tense. And basically what it is saying is this, I will cause myself to worship, to give glory, to give worth to God. I remember when I had just gotten out of seminary, Allison's dad gave us a trip to all the way to California. And it was to go and see John MacArthur and to go and be a part of his Shepherd's Conference. It was a wonderful opportunity. We went and flew from here to Dallas, from Dallas all the way to Burbank, California, got a hotel, got to driving out there, and there was about 3,000 guys, 3,000 pastors there. There was about 500 ladies that were there, and they were all being a part of this tremendous pastors' conference. You know, I'll give you just a real big truth here. I don't remember anything off the top of my head that was taught during that time. It was fun. It was great going in there. But I don't remember any of the breakout sessions. I don't remember any of the sermons that were preached. I don't remember any of that. But you know the one thing I do remember? Is the very first night we were there, we all gathered in to the church. And you can imagine that many people being all together. And I remember there was a guy that was playing an organ. And the organ was about as big as the back of the church is here. It was massive. And we all got up and sang, "Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus." And 3,500 voices united together, singing with all their hearts, praises to Jesus Christ. That was a force of nature. Friends, listen, when we come with a heart to participate, when we come to sing, when we come to look into the Word of God and to gain knowledge, that is a powerful thing that doesn't just bless us, but it blesses those that are around us. Come with a heart to participate. But also, number two, always remember a serving spirit. A serving spirit. Notice verse 2, serve the Lord with gladness. You ever thought about that particular verse? Serve the Lord with gladness. How do you serve God? You know, when you're thinking about service in a human respect, you think about a waiter or a waitress, you think about those that are giving to others, you think about what happens on Food for All. We're serving the community because we're bringing food for those that don't have it. We're bringing those that might not have food in their pantries. We're giving them a meal. We're serving them. A waiter or a waitress comes in and serves you. But when it says serve the Lord with gladness, we're not talking about taking a big old pitcher of tea and going, "Hey, Jesus, you need a refill?" We're not talking about that. Whenever we're talking about serving the Lord, we're talking about interacting with others and sharing the love of Jesus Christ in practical ways, helping and loving our friends and our neighbors. When we come into church, what a great opportunity to serve and love our brothers and sisters in Christ. And you know what? That's contagious. That's an amazing thing. You know the reason why I'll do the candy thing here with Children's Church and why I do things like that? You can trace it all the way back to one gentleman. His name was Tim Farrell. He had a daughter named Alex or Alexa, and we used to give her a ride to school back and forth. But I remember Tim was part of our church, and you could go up to him if you were a child. You'd go up to him any Sunday, and he always had candy. Church didn't pay him to do that. Didn't do anything like that. He just simply did it to bless children, and that's where my ideas come from. He served, and it rubbed off on me. You know, service has a way of doing that. If we love one another, if we serve one another, if we love one another as Jesus has commanded us to do, it has a way of multiplying out. Come with a heart to participate. Come with a serving spirit. Number three, come with a desire to worship. Scripture says in verse 2 and also in verse 4, come into His presence with singing. Verse 4, enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name. Come wanting to tell God how great He is. Come with that heart to say, you know what? I might not have the greatest of singing voices, but you know what? I don't care. I'm not singing for the praise of man. I'm singing because God deserves praise. I don't care what other people think around me. I just want to give God the glory. I remember back in college, you know how I'd mentioned, you know, how would you like to go to a basketball game and people are just sitting like this? That would be a whole stadium full of me. I was one of the people that would go to a Liberty University basketball game and I would be like, okay, I'm here. Let's watch the game. You know, I was bad. Allison can attest to this. I'm telling the truth. I was just sit down, not do anything. And there would be some people that would come all up in front of us, and they'd be hooping and hollering, "Woo, let's go Flames!" You know, they'd be like that. And I'd be like, be quiet. It's a basketball game. Hush. But you know, as the stadium filled up, and more people got there, and more people started cheering, I couldn't help but get on my feet and shout and cheer as well. See, when we have a desire to worship, when we have a heart to worship, it rubs off on others. A heart to participate, a serving spirit, a desire to worship. Number four, your burdens. Your burdens. Look at verse number three. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us, and we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. You know, when you look at that verse, I know I've preached that verse I don't know how many times, and I have never thought about it this way, because I've always gone the direction of saying, look, we need to make sure we know who God is, so we're following Him, and we're obeying Him, we have the right attitude, we have the right humility, and humility is a part of this right now. But you know what? When we think about that verse, know that He is God. God's bigger than just, you know, putting Him in a category. God's bigger than that. Know that He is God. We are His people. We are the sheep of His pasture. That means we're the one that goes to Him as the great shepherd of the sheep. He is still the one, when we know that He is God, He's the one that says, come to me, all you labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He is the one that says, cast your burdens on me. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. He is the one that says, come, let us reason together. He's the one who is pictured in the prodigal son as the father with open arms running to that one who is coming back. He is the one that desires to carry the burdens of our life. And how often do we come to church? We paint on the pretty face. Oh, I'm good, I'm happy, I'm fine, even though you've had a horrible, terrible, no good, very bad week. Oh, I'm good, I'm fine, we come in, we worship, we leave, and we continue to have the bad day. All the time, God is saying, give me your burdens. Today, did you bring any of those with you? Something happening at work, something happening in the home, something happening in your heart. Something happening that nobody else in this world knows about, and God is whispering in your ear, give me your burden. I've got power like you would not believe. I've got ability like you would not even fathom. Lay it here at my feet. Your burdens, and finally this, number five, your anticipation. Your anticipation. Look at verse 5. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and His faithfulness to all generations. Three statements that talk about God's character. Three statements that tell who God is. He's always faithful. He is always loving. He is always good. You know, we look at the Bible and we look at all of who Jesus is. We look at all of what kind of things are promised in the Bible. When we come together to worship, there ought to be an anticipation. It shouldn't be a surprise when God breaks down the barriers of sin and God breaks through in somebody's life and they come and they repent and they say, Lord, I got to get my life right with you. We shouldn't be surprised when God brings marriages back together. We shouldn't be surprised when we have rebellion squashed within our hearts and we come back to God and say, God, I'm going to live my life for you. We shouldn't be surprised because you know what? That is what God is in the business of doing. Bringing the dead to life. Forgiving sin. Restoring lives. Not because of anything that we do, but because of who He is. So friends, what did you bring today? Or better yet, it might be better just to say, what will you bring to church? Will you bring that spirit that says, Lord, I want to worship you. I want to participate in worship. I don't want to just kind of like scoot by. Lord, I want to be engaged. Not only for my benefit, but for the benefit of all that are around me. And Lord, not only that, I'm going to bring a heart of service. I'm going to bring my burdens to you and lay them at your feet. And Lord, I'm going to anticipate you doing a great and a mighty thing. Not just today, but every Sunday. Not because these days in this place are special, but because you are here in our midst. Let's stand with our heads bowed.